When someone replies K to your question text, like, what do you even do with that?
Are they just not into you, or do they just have bad DBL?
Hi, I'm Yui Shu.
And I'm Julie Kraftchick.
We're active daters turned dating sociologists.
Here to dive into everything modern dating and relationships.
Welcome to the Dateable Podcast.
Before we get into this episode, a quick word from our sponsors that make it possible. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? Yeah, not great for our already struggling environment. That's why I'm so excited to talk about our partner today, Blueland. Blueland is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. And the concept is pretty simple. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. I literally just tried out the laundry tablet, and instead of having to bring my huge container like I normally do down the hall, I just brought the one tablet and my clothes came out so clean, just as clean as normal. I'm fully on board. It just makes my life easier and I'm helping the environment. And the best part, Blueland has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dateable. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/dateable for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dateable to get 15% off. By now, you've probably heard me raving about Osea. I'm obsessed with their Mega Moisture Duo, and I even caught my partner using it the other day because he smelled like seaweed. Now that's hot, right? You know who else would love Osea? Your mom, or your friends that are moms, or if you're a mom, because being a mom is hard work, and I think all moms deserve a spa day this Mother's Day. And what better way to make every day a spa day than with Osea's Mega Moisture Duo? And right now, you can even get an additional 10% off your first order with our code DATEABLE at OseaMalibu.com. Treat moms to the everyday spa experience she deserves with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code DATEABLE at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use the code DATEABLE for 10% off.
Hello, friends.
Welcome back to DATEABLE.
We are talking about digital body language today, DBL. I really like that acronym.
Me
sounds
too.
Kind of sexy.
Me too. It's a hot topic. I think if you're a dater in today's world, we all overanalyze text messages and emojis, you know, all these like subtle cues on our phones. Like, why is dating so phone based? Like, everything is around your phone.
How many times have you gotten screenshots in your group chats asking you to interpret a text exchange? It's like, why do you think he used that emoji? What do you think this message means? Or what do you think this word means? Or why is it taking this person more than 2 hours to respond?
Yeah, I think we can all relate to this, but this is the first time, at least, I'm hearing the word digital body language put behind it. And we were fortunate enough to talk to Mo Ari, who is a licensed therapist and Hinge's loving connection expert. And they reached out to us about this topic because did a whole study about digital body language. And it's, the first time it's ever connected for me.
And we want to answer the bigger question is, are there universal signs of DBL that just go across the board? I mean, we think about in body language, if your body's turned towards someone, it means that you're interested in them. If you're making eye contact, it shows interest. Do we have the same universal signals in DBL?
Yeah, we're hoping like from this episode that you can learn about your own DBL style. UA and I certainly did, as you'll hear. Yep. But also when you're frustrated or overanalyzing someone else's, what do you need to do in that situation, knowing what you know now about DBL?
The biggest takeaway is stop analyzing other people's DBL. This will free you from all the headache that you've wasted just, you know, agonizing over a text for no reason.
I mean, is there anyone that you can think of that you were just like, why are they texting me this way?
This was something that was big for me when I was dating. Texting was my demise. Waiting for texts, analyzing texts, all that was my total demise.
I'm getting used to it. I'm getting used to the audio messages. Those kind of drive me crazy because I need to be able to hear them. And I know that they're going to be long. So it's always like daunting. I save those for later.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a texter, as you know.
Yes, you
are.
So
I think when people like don't respond quick or short in text, like it always made me assume the worst. And, you know, from this podcast and other things, I've learned that like people have different styles and you can't just assume your style is what they do, like communication and everything else out there. But for me, I definitely overanalyzed all that.
And the device someone texts on makes a huge difference. Someone who's texting from their computer versus from their phone or their flip phone.
Flip phone? Who's using flip phone?
People still have those. But that makes a huge difference of the length and the brevity of the text messages.
I kind of like the idea of being like freed from it a little and like not overanalyzing it as much. Because, you know, I'm thinking about, so I'm actually hitting my 3-year anniversary today with my partner. And, you know, we met over COVID times. And I think about this often, that I did not analyze the date nearly as much because it was during COVID and all those signs, the signals, the in real life body language, not digital body language, but, you know, when someone taps your arm or they like do something subtle to show interest. None of that was there because you like weren't touching people. And it was a little freeing because I wasn't thinking about it. I was just enjoying myself. And I think like we all get so caught up in the signs and signals, whether that's on your phone or in person, there is something nice and liberating about throwing that out for a little.
Yeah. And the lack of digital communication also says a lot. And I know that I've definitely been frustrated by those times of just like the inaction in the digital communication. So there's just so much to this that's on you. You are the one creating these frustrations for yourself.
There is something really nice though when someone's digital body language matches yours. Like even with my current partner, I remember just being like, we're on the same wavelength with texting and how often we text and how quick we respond. And I'm like, this is like the first time in my life that I felt like I had a little bit of a matching style with someone. And not that that's everything in a relationship. It certainly isn't. I have so many friends that were like, I fell in love with this guy. And then they met in person. They're like, nope, never mind. It was just digital. So it's not the be all end all, but there is something really nice. And it's just like one less, I guess, conflict you need to work through when you're aligned with that.
Right. But when you do encounter conflict in your communication style, this episode will help you resolve that. There are so many different ways to just get over that stuff. Like that stuff doesn't really matter, but you know, there are tactics to get over.
I really think this episode is for everyone, but there is something about the way Mo communicates, like not even just digitally, but the way he breaks down just how to have conversations. I think every dater, everyone in a relationship should be listening to this episode just to hear that technique and style, because communication at the end of the day, we always say it, communication is everything, and that's digital or when you're talking in real life.
Oh, 100%. Sometimes I have to look at text messages and ask, am I interpreting it this way or am I reading it this way?
Totally.
It's a huge difference. And it could make a huge difference in the way you feel. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, got to get clarity on that.
I remember one of my friends, like she was in a legit relationship for a couple months. It wasn't like so serious, but they were defined the relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend for all intents and purposes. And they ended up breaking up on like, I think it was like GChat. Remember GChat was really big for a while? And at work, like everyone would GChat each other and they had a fight on GChat and their relationship ended like right then. They never talked again. They never had a conversation in person. That was the end. It is like digital. Like you really can interpret things in certain ways. And, you know, maybe they were just in this situation. I don't fully know, but I guarantee at least having a real conversation, whether that was at a minimum on the phone, but ideally in person, could have at least like, I don't know, given more understanding, I would assume.
We've completely abused digital communication because it's so readily available to us. I still remember the days, I will date myself, of ICQ, waiting for someone to go.
What is ICQ?
It's the messaging on your on your computer, and someone can leave you a message and it'll send you, like, I think it went like that's the sound. And I remember just being so excited if I got that on my computer because it wasn't instantaneous. You had to leave a message for someone to read. And now we totally abuse it because it's at our fingertips and we feel like we can just talk to someone whenever we want. But it is such a privilege. And so we need to understand how to exercise that privilege.
Yeah. I mean, I think the reading between the lines is a big one. But for me, it was the time of the text. That was a huge one that got in my way. Like, I remember with an ex of mine, he just wasn't as much of a texter as I was. And I would get like all like, oh my God, I haven't heard from him about this plan.
I know.
Like, yeah. Is it off? Is it not happening? And he's just like day of would be like, oh, so we're meeting at 11, right? Yeah. And to him, it was just like, oh yeah, we made the plan 3 days ago. Of course it's happening. But to me, I needed like extensive follow-up and like reassurance that the plan was happening. So it was a total disconnect of just how we, you know, communicated and texted in general.
So now that we're on this topic of digital communication, how are you two digitally celebrating your 3-year anniversary?
Is it like digitally celebrating
hey, babe, it? Oh yeah. Happy three-year anniversary. Is he at work right now?
Yes. And I'm okay. Okay. This is my also pet peeve. I'm not a babe person. I know you were
okay.
A babe
All right, sorry. Honey, I don't know.
I don't want to tell you what my nickname is. It's embarrassing. It's very.
Oh, so it's only for him.
Yes, it's very cheesy.
And you've never used it with anybody else.
No. I don't. Wow. I don't like to reuse names either.
Oh.
Like it feels. I don't know. My ex always called me sweetheart. That was like his term of endearment. So I wouldn't want someone else to do that because it would make me think of that. So I like having uniqueness for people.
So this nickname, which we will get Julie to tell us.
I will not disclose it. My partner would be so angry. I will not disclose it.
We can start a poll on Instagram for people to guess. I am very curious. I think it's something like Munchkin or... or sugar pie.
At the beginning, we did look it up of just like what are unique ones because we didn't want to do like the everyday one. You know, we had like, okay.
Oh, okay.
I will reveal.
It was intentional.
Oh, yeah. I will reveal one that's not as embarrassing, but we had looked at this list of just like, what are some unique ones that aren't like babe, baby, you know, like all the, basic ones. I know you're a babe person.
Yeah, they are
person,
basic, yes. They are
and
basic.
One of them was my moon, and we're like, there's something about that that we kind of like, because we both like looking at the moon. It didn't really stick, though, I'll admit. It didn't really stick. There's something about it that doesn't roll off the tongue as an everyday.
Apparently, this needs to be its own episode because I have a hard time with this. There are certain unique nicknames I would love to give my man friend, but in public,
when
I just
want
to like, yeah, you can't. And I can't, I also don't want to say his name in public either because it also sounds formal. I don't know. It's weird. So I just go, babe. But like the times I've tried to use the unique names, he's not responding to them and I never want to use them again.
I don't know why. And I don't mean this against you. There's something about babe to me that's so cringy and I just can't ever use it.
That totally, you know, to each their own.
Exactly.
Like it just comes naturally for me and I just replace one with another. I'm like, everybody
you're
is going to be babe.
You're babe.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels babe. Like forced for me. So yeah, I think again, it's a personal take. It's not like anything about it.
But my moon would be really hard
oh,
if
yeah.
you were at a grocery yeah. store and you're like, my moon, don't forget the bananas.
Okay. What's nice about it though is I will find like cards from time to time that's like my moon, my sun, my universe, and I'll get them because it's like sentimental. But it didn't really stick as a nickname. Anyways, digital body language.
Tangent.
A tangent that we hope you all enjoyed. We had this thing. Okay, of course, we still text. I don't want to say we don't text, but we clearly live together. So like in the morning, we're not going to like send each other a text as much for the most part. Because he'll say goodbye before he leaves. And today, though, he did send me one of our, we used to have these little stickers. They're called, oh my God, I'm like embarrassed that I'm saying this on the air, but they're.
It's okay, my moon. It's go forth.
I forget who created that, but it's like if you go to like Giphy, like one of those sites, and it's like Bunny Boo and Bearaloo, and it's like this bear and bunny, like jump into each other's arms and they're in love, and it's really cheesy. But we used to send these to each other all the time. So he did send me one of those this morning.
I'm into it. I'm into it. I'm also like, wow, I didn't know he was so sentimental. But also, I love it. You know, the things, every couple has their thing.
Exactly.
Or things like that we don't see publicly. No. So I appreciate you being public.
But we used to always send like a kissy face emoji. That was like, I used to always send that. Like that was always my thing. Like at the night, good night. And then the kissy face. Again, it all changes as you like live together. And I'm not sending that every night before bed. But it is nice once in a while to get that. You know, we're going to make a dinner tonight too. This isn't digital body language, but we are going to make a nice dinner. I picked up some veal for veal cutlets. And yeah, fancy. And then we are going to do like a nice dinner out on Saturday.
I'm turned on. You had me a veal. My moon, baby Lou.
Bearaloo, not baby Lou.
Bearaloo. Damn it. I'm so bad at this. I'm so bad at nicknames. We don't have nicknames for each other. We're going to have to figure it out too.
What I do like about all of this though, whatever you choose, if it's babe, if it's undisclosed nicknames, if it's sending Bearaloo texts, whatever it is. I like when it creates like a shared language for the couple that's like your own world that you're in a bit. And there's something about that I think that really did help, especially the early stages of our relationship. I think even just sending that like kissy face emoji at the end of the day, it set up a routine. Yeah. It set up this like feeling of, you know, something between the two of us, like a, I don't want to say personal joke, it's not a joke, but you know, like something that we share that no one else shared. And I think stuff like that, that's how you build connection. That's how you like bridge it from just this person I went out with to someone that I can have a relationship with.
And that totally translates into digital communication. Yeah. If you share an inside joke or an emoji or something that's just between the two of you, it builds rapport. And then you can always, you know, reminisce back on these shared languages.
And like we talk about in this episode, it's not a replacement for communication. That could go real bad if all we were sending was kissy face emojis and nothing else. It's an add-on. That's how I like to view it.
I don't know if this couple or not has their own language, but I was at a Lululemon and a girl named Jocelyn came up to me and asked, are you UA from Dateable? So I just want to give her a shout out. She was with her boyfriend. I'm curious, Jocelyn, if you're listening, what do you call your boyfriend?
Oh my God. That was the best transition. UA's like, I need to give a shout out. Love it. I did not see that going that way.
What's your shared language? What is something, because they've been together for a year. By a year, I think you start having a repertoire of that shared language, nicknames, and inside jokes. And sometimes you have you noticed like you forget their inside jokes because no one else would understand.
No, what I'm telling you now, like as the words were coming out of my mouth, I'm like, I can't believe I'm saying this right now. It's so weird. It's so embarrassing.
Oh, Bearaloo.
I will send those to you. They are really cute and you're going to love them.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I'll start sending them to you too.
You should.
One of them's like, I miss you. I'm going to send it to you.
No, you need to create a Giphy Jiffy whatever of a third bear running in. And, like, it's the first two bears hugging, and then a third bear's like, I'm here too.
A triad bear. They don't know what they're getting.
You know, they need to be more progressive.
Less heteronormative. I'll write to the emoji maker, whoever she is.
Wow. So much. So much. Well, we've just closed our Finding Your Person program. And we are very much looking forward to getting to know the new cohort.
Yes.
Because everybody will get a chance to do some two-on-ones with us.
Two-on-ones. I know. I'm always like,
oh, that's the third bear.
Yes. Okay. For making the three pairs for the Finding Your Person program.
But every cohort is different, and we love meeting everyone in it. If you miss your chance this time around, we are relaunching the program in a few months. But just keep your eye out because it closes quickly, spots fill up quickly. But it's such an incredible program, and there is a little bit about digital body language in there as well. So it's really relevant.
You cannot do anything in today's world without touching on digital body language.
You can't, unless if you have a flip phone, I guess. Sorry, I can't.
And we will even give you a nickname. No, we won't. Don't worry.
Unless you ask for it. Unless on our two-on-one, all you want to do is have us come up with a nickname for you, which we're happily to do. You know, it's your time.
We should do a poll, though, of like what people call their significant others. I am really curious. Because I've definitely overheard friends. And it's always a little cringe when you overhear them, no matter what it is they call their partner.
Yes. Yes, I'm very curious because some of them are, I mean, like the one I have for him is Boss Baby because, you know, Julie, I told you this. He looks exactly like Boss Baby. He like the human version of it.
I didn't know who Boss Baby was. And then you had to pull up a photo and I was like, yep. I see it.
Yeah. Go watch the movie. That's exactly who I'm dating is Boss Baby. But I wouldn't say that's a term of endearment. It's more like, I think it's just hilarious. But I wouldn't be in public being like, Boss Baby.
You should be like, Boss Babe.
Boss Babe. Oh, that's a different kind of nickname. Boss Daddy.
That's true. That gets weird. So you can get weird real fast.
It's already weird. We got to end this before it gets more weird.
Yes, we do. We have a whole episode to go into with Mo, who's the expert here. So yeah, we'll leave it to Mo to keep going about talking about are there universal signs of DBL or not? Okay. Well, before we get into it at Dateable Podcast, that's where you find us. Remember, if you are an Apple Podcast subscriber, you have lost auto downloads because of changes that Apple made. So make sure to go and favorite our show again, and you can select how often you want to get the downloads. But it's really important because you won't miss anything if you're subscribed. And sometimes we're going to be dropping some funsy ones out of nowhere. So
funsy.
Maybe we'll reveal nicknames. You never know what you're going to get. So you...
I don't know if that's enticing enough, but yes.
But subscribe anyways. And also come over to YouTube. We will be running our brunch talks as video podcasts there as well. So make sure to check us out. Okay. Well, before we get into it, let's hear a message from our sponsors.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Mine is a little drained just because I feel like it takes so much out of me to socialize during dark winter months. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin. Do you know what's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time, like me. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Personally, therapy has helped me set boundaries around my social calendar so I can maximize my time with people I care about without feeling FOMO. I don't feel like I have to say yes to every invite, but the gatherings I do go to, I show up as my best self. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/dateable today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DATEABLE. Confession, I have a secret about how I've been able to update my wardrobe with only high quality but affordable pieces these last few years. And now I have to let the secret out because they're sponsoring this episode. It's called Quince. Yeah, if you know, you know. Quince has premium European linen dresses, gorgeous washable silk tops, luxurious cashmere, and the best part, they're priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories. So no more middleman, and that's why it costs less to you. I know Julie got herself some nice cashmere pieces, and at only $50 a sweater, come on. And I recently ventured into home goods. I got myself some premium cotton percale sheets. Ultra cooling and just feels like a five-star hotel every night, and it's so perfect for the upcoming hot months. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/dateable for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/dateable to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/dateable.
Okay, let's hear from Mo about DBL.
We've all heard of the physical body language. What about your digital body language? Since we've gone so tech in the last few decades, how we present ourselves digitally is just as important as how we do it IRL. Mm-hmm. So our expert and guest today, Mo, is a licensed marriage and family therapist and Hinge's love and connection expert. Over the past decade, Mo has worked with individuals, couples, and families on their journey to love their authentic selves and establish meaningful connections. They also serve as a diversity and equity consultant and on the board of directors for the It Gets Better Project, a nonprofit organization dedicated to uplifting and connecting LGBTQIA+ youth around the globe. Now, he is in his early 30s, lives in Atlanta, originally from Chicago, married and polyamorous, but also an expert in this topic we're going to talk about, digital body language. How are you, Mo?
Thank you so much for having me. I am pretty excited to be here.
Yeah, we are so excited. When we saw this topic come through, we're like, this is a must because, yeah, like UA said, this is the digital age. So how would you define digital body language in your words?
So in short, digital body language is all about the virtual cues that we are sending. So when we think about body language in general, those are the nonverbal forms of communication, the emojis you would send in this context, the punctuation you use, how often you're responding, how consistent your messaging is. All of this goes into your digital body language, what we're calling DBL at Hinge for short. So feel free to call it just DBL and I'll know what you're talking about. And so all of that goes into your digital body language and makes up the cue or the vibe you send out online.
And that is 90% of online dating is your DBL and how you interpret other people's DBL. So why do you think it is so important in today's day and age to understand DBL, but also why is it so important in dating?
Gen Z, I'd say specifically, is a digitally native generation. That means that they don't know necessarily a world without technology. And that has made them even more versatile, very attuned to deciphering digital body language like nobody has ever done before. So I'd say for them and then any generation that follows, this will be really important because we're in such a virtual and technologically advanced time. This is happening for everybody, but I'd say for our digital natives, it's even more important that they understand and have to interpret. Because think about like when we moved into the pandemic starting in 2020, people were doing job interviews mostly online. Mm-hmm. We're doing family FaceTimes. We're doing all of the things online. And we had to be able to really understand whether or not we're sending very professional vibes on that interview. So we had to be able to understand what kind of vibes we were sending out, whether or not we were being professional. And then when we're thinking about dating and online dating specifically on an app like Hinge, we need to be able to understand whether or not we're letting our dates know that we're interested, letting them know that we want to get to know them better. So, and I would say in a technologically advanced society, digital body language becomes important, but it's also important to note that we don't want to overanalyze digital body language.
Yeah, and I definitely want to get to that. Like, what's the line of overthinking it? Because I could see that being a thing of like being aware, but also not being too in your head. Yeah. But I guess one question I have, you know, physical body language is already hard to decipher sometimes. And we've been doing that for years at this point. Like, how do you have the same definition of what body language means in the digital world?
This is a really good question. I think you're really on to something. Well, in short, my response is that it's generation dependent. That's what we're finding. Mm-hmm. So at Hinge, we just released our Gen Z date report. That DATE stands for Data, Advice, Trends, and Expertise. I got to give a lot of advice in this report. But what we learned from Gen Z daters is that the top DBL signs that they're looking out for, they're deciphering the most, is who initiates the conversation, message consistency, and response time. If I looked at a different generation, I'd imagine that there are other DBL cues that would be more important. For instance, what I've been hearing a lot from Gen Z daters is that like punctuation matters. So they're not ending their sentences in periods, and they're probably thinking that you're being a little aggressive if you're doing that. Whereas for millennials, we're like using APA style citations and paragraphs in our text messages. And so I think it's just very different from generation to generation. That's one part of the culture that's determining how you're communicating. I also think that there are other intersections of identity that would determine that as well.
So I had a friend once, this just made me think of it, because I think that even millennials too, like even though it's more standard to do like periods and punctuation, there is like a little bit of like, that's not texting etiquette.
Yeah.
And I remember like my friend, her now husband, he wrote in like full paragraphs and she thought it was so weird at first and she thought he was a total weirdo. And then it turned out he was a copywriter. So like that was like native to him. So like, how do you have that happen of like, oh, I'm like reading DBL one way, but like, I actually just don't know anything about this person. And that's why I'm interpreting it.
Yeah, that's really good. I love that example because it makes me think about how important it is to just, once you get the DBL cue and you're clear that there's some type of misunderstanding or there's something that's left you feeling curious about how to interpret it, to really have the conversation. DBL, just like in-person body language, is not a substitute for having conversations. So I can't stress that enough. Though, like we found from 77% of our Gen Z Hinge daters, that Gen Z daters are feeling like digital body language tells them a lot about someone's intentions. So we know that people are using it a lot to interpret. My word of advice or word of caution is that once you've realized something in their DBL is sending me the wrong signal, I'd say, okay, you want to pause and then have a conversation about what that means. So it might not be that intense. So I hear somebody in my head going, oh my God, that's cringe to have that conversation.
Yeah.
And what I mean by conversation is to simply say, hey, I noticed you. People love being noticed. I noticed that you send full paragraphs. I'm so curious about that. I've never met a person who does that. I love your ability to articulate yourself. I'm just wondering what that means for you. Like, I'm just really wondering why you send full paragraphs. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. And at that point, they could be like, oh, because I'm a copywriter or whatever it is, right?
Yes.
I feel like for me, digital body language is so specific to the person. Like, I can tell if Julie's annoyed by me just by like a word that she texts me, but that's because I know her.
Really?
Yeah. But are there, you know, kind of like universal signs for DBL that we should all be watching out for?
Yeah, I love your curiosity and your level of presence. I have to say that you even pick up on these signs. I think ideally that's what we want, is for people to really get to know one another so that you interpret these signals over time. When I think about the possibility of universal signs, my whole thinking about that is that it really depends on so many intersections of identity and culture. I think there are some universal things when I think about humans, though. Like in person, we have smiling. Mm-hmm. Smiling and laughter are kind of universally ways of expressing emotion, I should say. So when I think of DBL, what I want to offer people is that if you can communicate your thoughts using feelings language or communicate your feelings using actual feeling words, you're more likely to be clear. So when we want to send clear DBL, my go-to is to say, if I'm feeling happy, I'm going to say I'm feeling happy, versus sending a smiling emoji. Because a smiling emoji is not a substitute for a smiling face. That's like my rule of thumb.
I was going to guess that like a universal sign was the smiling emoji.
There's so much that's behind that. And I think for humans, we're so used to seeing someone. There's a bit of suspicion that's still there, or like a separation between you and the other person where it leaves a lot for interpretation. It's like, are you smiling for real? I say LOL all the time and I did not laugh out loud.
No.
What I mean by that is that you are hilarious to me, even though I'm not laughing.
Right. So if someone sends you the smiley emoji, though, like what else could that mean? Like if it's not that they're happy, like are there other interpretations? Or are you just saying like, oh, it might not be genuine? Like they're just doing it because they think they should versus they're super happy to be around you.
Yeah. So I would say that I generally would receive a smiling emoji as smiling. But I think that there are contexts when someone might be using that to avoid a conversation. Potentially. It depends on what they said before that. Like if they say something kind of sassy or shady and then they put a smiley emoji, nobody's thinking that's a smile or like lighthearted or playful. Yeah. So it really just depends. And I'd say the clearest digital body language is to utilize actual language that clearly identifies your emotions. So if you are happy, say I'm happy. If you are feeling frustrated, say that. That really helps people to interpret you the best.
Would you recommend that we just don't use emojis then?
I'd say that they're a compliment, just not a substitution for the conversation or the actual language of emotion. I think we rely on them too heavily.
Interesting.
It's something if I get a text from a friend and say, it was so good to see you. And, you know, I really missed you, then being like, I don't know what emoji I might use for that, but that would be different than being like, I had a good time with a peace sign or a heart. It's not the same as I missed you and I really can't wait to see you again.
Right. I like the compliment because I am thinking back to like when I started dating my partner and we did like, I feel like emojis became like a little secret language or like the stickers and stuff. And there was something like really cute and endearing about it. Like
it's beautiful.
Yeah. I used to send like the kissy face emoji every night before bed when we didn't live together. Now I don't send that, but
just in person.
That'd be weird. But like it used to be like flirty, I guess. But what I'm hearing you say is, it can't just be like, that's it. That's all you send. Like, there has to be context leading up to it. Am I interpreting that right?
Yeah. And this is really coming from a place for me where I notice people wanting to shorten or abbreviate the amount of time that they spend being intentional communicating. And I don't want us to utilize digital body language, or I want to caution us against using digital body language as a substitute for just actually saying things.
Yeah.
This is a secondary way of communicating. It shouldn't be our primary way of communicating. And a lot of times I think we're leaving everything to the suggestion of something versus just outright saying, I love you, I miss you.
I think a lot of it's probably like age dependent too, because I'm just thinking back. I don't know if you remember this episode we did like with this guy that he was technically a millennial, but he was at the very bottom end of millennial. And we're more elder millennials. It's stuff he was saying, we were just like, we don't even understand what you're saying with like the usage of emojis and memes and God knows what else he was sending. And we're like, how are you dating this way? Like, it was so confusing. Like, and we were just thinking like, how is someone going to interpret this? So I'm guessing like some of it comes down to the volume too. Is there anything you've noticed there?
Yeah, certainly. I think you're hitting on this very nicely, that because of how technology has advanced and even online dating, I would say that you'd see differences even within generations, depending on their age, what was happening in the world at the time, the emergence of certain technology. So for the people who were texting with the QWERTY board before everybody else who had to do the tapping on the phone multiple times to get the right letter.
Blackberry.
Yeah. Yep. You know, depending on what your technology was as you were developing in this space, I'd imagine it changes how you communicate. For people who tended towards spending more time in chat rooms versus people who were like, I didn't get a phone until I was in college. Your relationship to technology and how you communicate is certainly different.
I love that you brought that up because I think about, I used to have to pay per text. So I'm very frugal with my texting. If I text you, it's a big deal. And I think that frugality carried over to now when I have unlimited talk and text, I'm super bougie. No, but it's, I think from that generation of thinking, oh, every word costs me money. Yeah. I better make it worthwhile.
Yeah.
And now when I text with Gen Z, they text me novels, but these novels are also shorthanded with a lot of emojis, a lot of acronyms that I don't understand. Mm. So there is that complexity in the generational gap that you were saying, Julie. But should we, Mo, unify ourselves in a way where these are almost DBL etiquette that we should all go by?
Oh, I love the diversity in language and emotion, and I'm all for creativity when it comes to connection. What I want us to unify around is our curiosity and this genuine desire to understand each other on this individual level. And so when you meet a person with some different DBL, I want us to just get curious and lean into that opportunity to learn about a different way of being. I love, UA, that you just told me your texts were not free. I had the Sprint plan, I think that was free after 6 or 7. So I was like texting my friends all the time after school. I'm still long-winded now. But I would not have known that had you not shared, we not had this conversation. I invite people who are dating to really lean in there and say, hey, I noticed this person is different. And don't automatically assume that difference means that your communication will be bad. The key to quality communication really is to understand those differences and see how you can bridge it.
That's a good point. Okay, so we've kind of established like emojis, probably memes too, are in the same camp. Like I remember there was this app that UA and I used. It doesn't exist anymore, but when Tinder did group dates, and we used to do these like group dates, but you would get in this like chat with your friends and then a group of other people you were talking to. And it would be literally people just sending memes and like no one actually using any words. And that's probably why it doesn't exist today, because nothing ever happened from it. Like it's no one lazy. Ever met up because it didn't like foster any connection. So like, is there a way to use memes to foster connection? Or do you think this is like kind of a bad approach to doing so?
Never did I ever think we would ask this question.
I'm an idealist, so I really like to think about a world where we can use all different kinds of ways to connect. And I have to say that there are plenty of people who their love language is probably memes at this point, or like they people love to laugh, and people are very curious about the ways that other people think. And so when they find someone who has the same sense of humor as them, they feel very seen. So when it comes to dating or connecting with people, I'd say that I'm open personally to any kind of way that people want to connect to me. And that's where I'm kind of encouraging people to go.
I think what I'm hearing from you, it can't be just memes. Memes is one way that gives a little humor. But if you do, like, it can't just be emojis only. Like, the words have to be there too, in addition.
Yeah. And just like I'd say that you can't just message someone online. Eventually, we want to meet up in person so we can really get to know each other in a different way. I'd say the ways that we communicate is really the goal. There's no one way to do this right. So for people that still want to talk on the phone, don't feel weird because you want to talk on the phone. And most people are different. Feel fine asking for what you want at this point. I think a lot of us kind of tend toward doing what everybody else is doing, like out of fear of being cringe. And we talk a lot about that in the Gen Z Day Report, this fear of being cringe. But if you're a person that wants to talk on the phone like me, let's do it and not feel bad about it.
Yeah.
And you probably find that other people are open as well.
Well, part of this is getting to know someone's communication style, but the communication style also involves the lack of communication style, the non-communication. So can you talk a little bit about that? How do people interpret the silence between the texts and the delays in responses?
This drives people crazy. Yes.
It does. So again, I always use caution when analyzing people's DBL. What I'm finding from people is that we learn a lot from Gen Z Hinge daters, and we found that they want their responses within 24 hours. So if you are not responding within 24 hours, yeah, I'll say
that's reasonable.
Probably sending out bad vibes.
I would say that probably goes yeah, beyond Gen Z. That's probably yeah, everyone. Yeah.
Daters are wanting that response quickly. So I'll say that out the gate. I'd caution people though from like overanalyzing that. What I think we should do is kind of ask them why the response time is slow, because people can be busy. They have other things going on.
Yeah.
There's plenty of overstimulation that happens when you're on your computer for work and then you have to go to this thing in person and you're trying to keep up with dating. And so have grace for people. But the best way to find out why people are doing what they're doing is to really ask them. Just interpreting their DBL is going to leave too much for interpretation. And it's just not a good place to be in when you're overanalyzing it.
Yeah. You know what's so fascinating? I just had this epiphany as we were talking. I came on this conversation thinking like you were going to tell us like the digital equivalent to the arm touch or like whatever the physical signs are. And what I'm realizing is because we've had these like physical body language or so many books on like how to interpret body language or what to look for, we expect that it should happen the same way digitally. Mm-hmm. So then we make all these assumptions.
Yeah.
Like you were saying with your friend that's like, oh, they're not commenting enough. They're not interested. We make all these assumptions
yeah,
instead of recognizing that it's kind of like the Wild West out there. There are no kind of commonalities in terms of interpretations and rules that we all follow or universal signals. We need to just be more transparent because yeah, by default, digitally, it's harder to communicate. Mm.
Someone else could tell you we should make these things universal. But as a relationship therapist, working with a lot of people from so many different walks of life, I've seen like interracial couples and LGBTQ plus couples, people really dealing at the intersection of a lot of identity differences. And what is common when miscommunication happens in relationship is that difference ends up being at the center of that. And we're trying to find a way to bridge that difference. Mm-hmm. And so I wouldn't say I'm necessarily against, but I'm not necessarily for this way of communicating that has to be the same, because we just cannot yeah, accomplish that as humans. We're just diverse and creative. There's some beauty in the universal nature of love that I do lean into, but I would say we shouldn't lean toward trying to find one way of being as a culture, and we should just embrace the diversity of how we already are.
Right. Mm. Well, with like message length, I'm assuming is a form of DBL, because I definitely yeah, have interpreted that. And I feel like UA, you kind of do this, and I have another friend that does this too. They'll just write like a short response like, hey. My immediate instinct is like, oh, are they mad at me? And then I have to take a step back and be like, no, this is just how they respond.
Yeah.
But I could see that dating being like really problematic because you don't know this person.
Yeah.
So for me, at least, it helped to be like, oh, I see these differences with my friends. People I know do not hate me and they want to be in my life. How can I like take whatever this person's saying at face value? And like, maybe the K doesn't mean anything. Like, it's just them responding.
I love that. Now, when my wife says K, I'm in trouble.
So, yeah, because you know her. Yes.
I know her.
I want to dive into this even more, but before we do, let's take a quick break to hear from our partners.
This episode is sponsored by 310 Nutrition. Okay, be honest. How good are you at hydrating? I personally have a tracker, which constantly reminds me that I am not hydrating enough. But now I rely on 310 Nutrition for everything from water hydrators, which make your water delicious and nutritious, to refreshingly healthy lemonade mixes, and they're all-in-one shakes. Whatever your personal goals may be, from getting hydrated to healthier habits, 310 Nutrition is satisfying, guilt-free, and a helpful tool to whatever goals you have for your health. And we just got these great products from them as a sponsor of the show. And I was immediately drawn to the lemonade mixes because one, they have no sugar, and two, how refreshing does this sound? My favorite is the blackberry flavor lemonade, which is such a treat. Right now, 3-10 is celebrating a new year of goals with the code DATEABLE and giving our listeners 50% off, up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code DATEABLE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use the code DATEABLE. Want relationship advice from one of the leading experts in the field of couples therapy? Then Reimagining Love is for you. Hosted by one of our favorite guests on Dateable, Dr. Alexandra Solomon. She is a clinical psychologist, couples therapist, professor, and award-winning author. It is your destination for profound, enlightening discussions about love, family, intimacy, and everything in between. But more than that, she gives us the opportunity to reimagine ourselves, our relationships, and our world. So on the show, Dr. Alexandra gives in-depth research-backed takes on topics like dating, jealousy, communication, commitment, personal growth, and features notable guests from the worlds of therapy, academia, and pop culture, such as me and Julie from Dateable, among other people you may have heard of like Esther Perel, Susan Cain, and Emily Nagoski. Her podcast is incredible, definitely worth a listen. We loved being on it, and we love having Dr. Alexandra on our show. So you can find her podcast, Reimagining Love, wherever you get your podcasts. The difference between physical body language and DBL is that in physicality, there's an interactivity to it. I can hold someone's gaze because they're also looking back at me. Mm-hmm. I can open my body to them because I see them opening their body to me. But in DBL, I'm texting to a blank wall and hoping that there is some interactivity back. That's why it's a little harder to interpret. Mm-hmm. But for you, Mo, there's no universal good DBL. But in physical body language, there are universal ways we can improve our body language. Like when you're walking down the street, take your headphones off and walk with open, broad shoulders to signal that you're open to socializing. Is there an equivalent to DBL where we can all improve our own DBL in some way?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Thank you for saying that and clarifying where you're going with that. I get that completely. This idea that there are certainly things that are helpful, even if they're not universal things. There are some things you could do that are not helpful, and there are things that you can do that are helpful.
Like,
right. I totally agree. We've got some good DBL tips. Absolutely. So definitely responding, I would say, within 24 hours or an agreed upon time frame. And if you can't, I like to say, make your time transparent. So if you're like, I'll have to get back to you when I'm done traveling, just let the person know. I think it really helps them to not be left guessing. And then being consistent in your communication. So if you're texting paragraphs and then you switch to K with a period, then we know something is up because you're usually sending paragraphs.
Or at least send an exclamation mark after K.
Right. Absolutely. In general, I'd like to say some of the things that we do in person still apply, like asking questions and showing that you're curious. These are just great ways to let them know that you're intentionally interested, and using feelings language or just being expressive, like, hi, you're so funny. I'm finding you so hilarious. I'm enjoying this conversation. Mm. All of those kinds of compliments and affirmations go a long way, and they show your interest without you having to say, I am so interested in you.
So I like this, like, be more explicit and be more like, share what you're thinking. Mm. Is there ever a time that you can be too explicit, like too over the top?
Yes. I'm just going to say yes. I think the desire to make sure that people like us, understand us, sometimes leads people to oversharing. So sharing things that your relationship is not ready for. So let's say if you just started messaging someone, you're not going to launch into childhood trauma, for instance. And sometimes mm-hmm. people want to offer these things very early because they want to know that they're safe in that relationship to do so. But it's important to not skip steps. Like, we want to build that emotional safety. And a lot of how we build that is through quality communication, whether it is direct or it's DBL. The oversharing, in my experience as a therapist, usually comes from trying to create really quickly a bond and a secure attachment. But the only way to cultivate that secure attachment is through building over time.
That's interesting, because we talk about this a lot on like first dates, but you're saying like you could even do this in digital world and like go into that trauma dumping mode.
I've definitely had that, and it feels like someone trapped me into a room just to talk at me.
I get this all the time as a therapist. I'm like, within a few messages, I know everybody's like what they're doing for the week and everything that disappointed them during the day. And I'm like, whoa, I just have that energy, I guess. It's a lot sometimes.
Are there any other like hard no's? I'm just like thinking about like when you're first, you know, interacting with someone before you go on a date in the real world. Like, I think it'd be weird if someone was sending me kissy emojis or hearts or stuff like that, or even like overly verbally like saying some stuff. Like, is there any no's in your opinion?
If you do want to express very early on how you're feeling, it's important to check in with the other person. So I hear what you're saying, like, you know, if somebody was sending kissy face emojis, that might be like a little of a turnoff for you. And so I'd imagine that in that context, I'd ask the person to ask you how that made you feel, especially once they notice you didn't send them a kissy face emoji back. It's important to check in. I'd certainly say you don't want to rush like affection. I often say when you're thinking about giving compliments, especially within the app, it's important to not focus on body parts. It's so important to notice something on their profile that you liked, or if you're trying to match with someone, like that part of their profile and then leave a comment specifically on Hinge. That is the best way to connect with someone, sends the best vibe. So totally, there are these ways that we could send the wrong signals by trying to force this kind of affection or move too quickly.
Yeah. I feel like a hard no is sending a selfie before even meeting up.
That'd be weird.
I've definitely had that happen. Like, here's me drinking my coffee.
Yeah, unprompted.
But I guess what I'm learning is like, maybe, Mo, would you be like, why'd you send that? Or like, in a nicer way?
It made me feel uncomfortable.
Like, how do you know when to like say something to the person versus cut bait? We hear of like all the time, oh, that gave me the ick.
Yeah.
Like, I could hear you, UA, saying like, oh, they sent me that weird selfie.
Yeah, I blocked him.
Right. But like, you're basically what I'm hearing from Mo, though, is that like everyone has different rules. Everyone interprets things different. Maybe you're like blocking someone prematurely. Like, how do you make that differentiation? Because you could be here all day.
That's a good question. I encourage people to have a line that you're saying you will not cross, and let that be your line. And so everything before that particular line, you might say, okay, I can be curious about this. I can kind of fill them out and see if anything else gives me the ick. Because it could be that they're just nervous and they don't know what to do with themselves. So they're like, let me send a selfie. And if they continue to do that, but you like everything else about them, and this isn't your line in the sand, you could say, I prefer this over selfies, if that makes sense. You're a beautiful person. Selfies just are not the way to connect with me. Send me, you know, send me a meme. But if that's your line in the sand, that's your line in the sand.
So UA and I have one friend that like, she definitely reads a lot in between the lines on digital texting and profiles and all the likes. And a few of the examples she's brought up to me, my take has been like, it just sounds like this person's trying to flirt and like be playful, but it's kind of falling short because it's digital. What advice would you have for someone like that, that's kind of trying to see if things are red flags or see if it's a turnoff or they're getting the ick or whatever, instead of, you know, just not overanalyzing so much?
Yeah, like if it's at the point where it's making you uncomfortable in a safety kind of way, that's always my major red flag. That's my line. We know that that's a hard boundary. If you're uncomfortable in like a safety way, this is the line in the sand. We don't want to be crossing that. But if it's like, oh, I just don't know if we connect, I'm not turned on by this person, or this is a turnoff. This is person dependent, but I want to encourage people to give the opportunity to that relationship to go out with the person and actually see if you have some chemistry. Yeah. That doesn't mean go out with everybody, but if there are just a couple of things you're like, I don't know, going out with them is probably the best way to find whether or not there is like potential. And that doesn't mean like excuse everything, because some people you're just not compatible right. with.
Yeah.
So that's why I think when you're dating, you really have to know what your standards are and know what your non-negotiables are so that
right.
you already know the boundaries of where you can be flexible.
Okay.
In her case, like she liked the guy in person, but the DBL was a turnoff. Do you have a conversation? Like, how do you bring that up and say your DBL is not working for me in a nice way? Because you can spin it well.
But also, a bigger question with this is, do you think that your DBL should be consistent with your IRL? I find that my DBL is quite different than who I am IRL, just because I don't type as fast.
That's another point of it.
Yeah.
You know, but this does cause conflict and friction when someone, you know, thinks that you're different.
You know, it doesn't have to be the same, and you want the intention to come across similarly. So if you're meeting a person and in person, it seems like you just are so into someone. But then when you're messaging them, you're giving them the vibe that you are just disinterested. Again, you all know I'm going to say have a conversation because I'm hearing you, UA. You've already told us you message much smaller responses, but your genuine like positivity probably shines through. I think when people are getting different signals in person and online, often it's related to like, this person just seems like they're not even making time for me. They're not interested. Yeah. But when we get together, they're so present and they're so in it.
Yeah.
So I'd say sometimes that's a good time to switch to talking on the phone or doing something that's a little bit more in real time to really get a sense of whether or not they're intentional about the relationship.
So how do you broach that to them? Whether it's like, you know, their mismatch energy or they're saying like the way their humor is coming off is different in person versus digitally.
Yeah. When it comes to humor, you could just let them know that you are having a hard time understanding what the jokes mean. You can kind of even put it on yourself. Like, I really want to understand better, because when you say this in this way, sometimes it's like making me think you're making fun of me, or sometimes I'm receiving that as unkind, but I know you're not meaning it in that way. So I'd rather us find a better way to connect. It could be all of that. It could be just that they have dry humor or dark humor. That's not for everybody. So we can just have a conversation for sure.
And then what about the consistency part, or like the showing up the same way? Like, how would you broach that to them?
Well, you know, I think to your point earlier, you all might not show up the same way online as you do in person. And that's okay. As long as the way that they're showing up doesn't seem like it's pushing you away. If it's like getting to the point where you're saying, this would stop me from dating you, it's important for them to know. So it's like, you know, when we meet up, it has been beautiful. It makes me really just long for more time with you. And then when we're messaging, I am not quite sure what's happening. It leaves me really wondering what I'm missing. So can you fill me in on that? Has anybody ever said that to you before?
No, but that's really good. That's really good, because you don't know how you're coming off until someone points it out to you, right? So it's it's a good way for the other person, at least like in my case, I would take a pause and think, oh gosh, I really have been a little short in text messages. I didn't realize.
And I assume like you should have these conversations in person, right? Not digitally.
I think you can.
Okay. Okay.
You can do either, but again, with digital communication, I'd say if the person's already having trouble responding quickly, then I'd say in person. So if the issue is already around communication, in person, on the phone, video message probably is the best way to approach that. But if it's about something else, leading with those compliments and really expressing that you're genuinely interested and you're saying this because you want more of time with them, they're going to receive what you have to say very well.
What is your general opinion on typos, both of you? Grammatical mistakes and typos.
I am personally very lenient when it comes to that.
Oh, okay.
I do honor that people can be in the moment or they could have other things going on. And so the grammatical errors totally don't bother me. They don't faze me. And I've worked with a lot of people from a variety of backgrounds. So some people don't have the grammatical correctness and I don't want to, you know, leave them feeling bad for that. So I like to just hold the space for everybody's coming from a different place. As long as it's legible, I will try to interpret it.
I know a lot of people have very strong feelings on this. Yeah. I personally feel like I used to be that kind of grammar snob. And then I realized that I do mistakes all the time. Because some of it's just like you're typing fast and it's really no like reflection on your intelligence. Or if I was like using a document, I would realize the mistake and instantly correct it. It's just the medium of texting. And then once it's gone, you can't edit it. So I've learned to have a little more leniency on that, especially if it's like a one-off. It's not like all the time. It's something that happens.
Yeah.
But I know people have strong opinions. Yui, what's your call?
I feel like typos I'm less lenient on because we all have autocorrect.
Autocorrect could do weird stuff.
But if it does weird stuff, it shows to me that this person makes this mistake all the time to the point where their autocorrect thinks that this is the right spelling, which is also a little alarming to me.
Maybe. This is interpretation.
But it goes back to what I think is respectful. I think like if I respect someone through communication, if I see that I made a typo, I would correct it in the next sentence.
Yeah.
People do that all the time. But if someone just leaves it, I feel like it's almost a throwaway. You know, I'm not respecting this person that much. I'm just typing fast to them.
I think that goes down to what Bo is saying, though, is like that's your interpretation that might not be someone else's. And that's where we get in trouble with all these misinterpretations in the digital world. And I guess you could even say even in the physical world, this happens too.
Yeah.
There's set like rules that we all have in our own minds of how people should behave that aren't always consistent in any way.
Yeah. Now, 39% of daters told us at Hinge that these typos give them the ick. So you're not alone.
Wow, that's a really high percentage.
So you're not by yourself.
Wow. No, you're definitely not alone. Okay, this I know drives my partner crazy. I don't do it. I just want to set that out. But it drives him crazy in general. It says like when you're like, instead of saying like I see, like S-E-E, you would write I and then C. You know how people do stuff like that? Do you have any stats on that? Like, is that annoying to other people or just him?
That's like so Gen Z, right?
Oh, not
they
at this time.
Everything.
I don't.
Well.
Does he care about the other ones too? Like I-K-Y?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's that. It's like maybe that was a bad example. I shouldn't have used that one. It's not the acronyms that are known. It's more of like when you're like, like instead of writing like you, for instance, you would do like a U. Like instead of Y-O-U, you do a U. That's a better example.
I don't have the stat on that. It made me think about like when like MySpace was like really in its era. And when people would, instead of putting an E, they put a 3. It was like at a point in time, this was so common. Things like what you're saying, substituting the word U for the letter U and C for C. It really depends on whether or not the person probably carried some of that time period into the present. I don't think any of this is bad, but everybody has their own, like what my sister would say, like idiosyncrasies or the things that are unique to them.
Or there's like the assumptions, like you were saying, like, oh, it's rude or like you're dumb because you say this. I'm not saying like that's what anyone said, but like those are the types of things that people infer from some of this stuff. And what I'm hearing from you, Bo, is like we can't make these inferences because like everyone's just so different is what I'm hearing over and over.
Certainly. It's like I want people to utilize DBL as information. It's like it helps you to notice and to feel into what's happening in that relationship and then take that information to have the conversation. Don't let it just stop at the DBL. I'm all for what you said, UA, about the grammatical errors kind of leaving you feeling like you did not edit this. Are you being intentional about talking to me? I want you to then go and say that. I don't want your question to be left unanswered.
Yes.
The DBL isn't really the answer. It's just like a sign or a signal.
Yeah.
I want you to get the question answered. And I encourage daters to do that by using DBL to initiate those conversations.
That's very true because The problem is we expect other people to have DBL like ours,
yeah,
which is not true. Nobody's like us.
Yeah.
So my first instinct is always like, well, I wouldn't do that or I wouldn't say that. Like even your example, Julie, of using the letter U instead of Y-O-U. In my head, I'm thinking that takes me more effort to type out U and denying autocorrect than to just type out Y-O-U, right? So I guess we just can't expect other people to act like us and we can just ask more questions.
Yeah.
So I guess the last question before we go into takeaways is like, how do you find DBL that's authentic to you? Because that's what I'm like learning from this is we all have our differences and how we do things, how we process, interpret. Like, how do you find that sweet spot for you?
Yes.
The phrase that's standing out to me is like removing the fear. And what I say that for is because in our Gen Z date report, we found that this worry around rejection was really getting in the way of people connecting with the people that they wanted to date. Not only that, it was causing people to overanalyze DBL and not send messages when they're really wanting to message someone and they really like them.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times that can lead us to even interpreting something in a way that is fear-based. So if we remove the fear, then it leaves things a little bit more clear or a clear path for us to have the conversations and to not overanalyze. It also allows us to remain more open to receiving what the other person has to say about their communication too. So if we've already got things made up in our head, we're not able to receive when someone says, my response times are bad because I just have a lot on my plate, but I really do like you. We'll just hear, I have a lot on my plate, and we'll go walk away saying, you don't really like me. So it's important to remove the fear because the fear is really getting in the way.
That's so important. I mean, there's so many takeaways for this whole conversation. I think the one that's standing out to me the most, it's kind of meta, but it's like we need to communicate our communication at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And I didn't really think that was going to be a takeaway coming on to this, which kind of like leads me to the next one is that DBL, there are no standards. Your digital body language can be misinterpreted. So how do you, one, not overthink it so much when someone's doing something that maybe you interpret a certain way? I loved what you said about having that line. Like, what's that line that you're going to get curious versus be like, nope, I'm good.
Yeah.
And I think having that line, obviously, like you can, you know, think about past experiences in the moment, see where that goes on the line. Like getting more intentional and understanding yourself that way is important. I think we don't really think about intentionality there at all. Like we think, oh, you just send the text, you're doing it in the bathroom, you're doing it in the line, like you're just like, I'm not intentional when I text. I think that's what I'm going to take away is maybe I could be a little more and apologize if I do a spelling error maybe.
I love that.
Especially to you, A. And then
you always correct yourself, so I appreciate that.
I do correct myself, thank you. I think the other major takeaway is that everyone needs to listen to this episode a couple times and really listen to how Mo frames things because all the conversations that you had, it was just so lovely and human the way you approached it. You approached everything when these examples that we were giving in this of like these moments of disconnection, you turn them into a moment of connection and just the way you framed it of like what you're loving about the connection. Like people need to listen to this over and over again because I really think so much of modern dating is misinterpretation. And we don't ask like what's going on or we don't share what we want. We think it's too early to share our needs and we'll scare the other person away. Or if they were right for us, they would know that this isn't good.
Yeah.
That's all we think. But the way you said everything, like every dater could take that back today to any current misinterpretation. And who knows, this could really open something up.
Wow. Thank you for saying that. That's very, very beautiful. I received that.
Thanks for creating the space for us to even talk about this. When Julie and I were talking about DBL, we're like, oh, this is like a thing that we never put any thought around. And I guess my takeaway is really around the fact that there is an art to DBL that we haven't put words or structure around. There's all kinds of workshops on improving your body language and verbal communication and nonverbal communication. But DBL is not something that we've thought about improving on.
Yeah.
And I personally think what I'm taking away from this conversation is DBL is not just words. It's like We can use a variety of ways to digitally communicate with someone. Mm-hmm. It could be a combination of text, to emojis, to voice messages, to videos, to links.
Yes, absolutely.
There's a diverse range of ways we can communicate digitally that we haven't even tapped into. Mm-hmm. And so if we were really to sharpen our DBL skills, it's not to universally speak the same language, but to diversify our toolkit of how we communicate mm-hmm. digitally. That's what I'm hearing.
Yes.
And I appreciate that this conversation opened that up so that we can focus a little bit more on progressing in that area. And I also think that we make a lot of assumptions in DBL, mm-hmm. just as we do in real life.
Yeah.
And before you send a screen grab to your friends to interpret some text message you just got, or to bitch about something that you are interpreting in a certain way, why not go to that person first?
Yes.
Use the phrasing that Mo gave you to really get more answers, seek understanding. I think we need to stop sending screenshots to our friends.
I love that PSA because I literally did that to you today, UA. I complained about someone's DBL and didn't address them. So this is a real thing that we're all guilty of. The other PSA, Mo, you said this, is if it's going to take you a long time to text back, just say that.
Yeah.
Or like, I'm busy right now. Like little things go a long way when it comes to DBL is what I'm learning.
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciated hearing both of your takeaways from this episode, and it's been a pleasure to really listen to your insights and for us to just have a conversation that builds on the thoughts and ideas of one another. This is what I ultimately want people to walk away from this conversation doing in their own life, is to allow your communication to be strengthened by the diversity in front of you. So if you're talking to someone and you notice something about their communication, adopt that. Mm-hmm. And then if you notice something that you don't like, you can certainly offer your strengths to the relationship. Relationships don't have to be a perfect match for them to be good. You just have to be able to utilize the strengths of each other and rely on one another where you have room to grow.
I love that. And like when you're actually like with someone or getting to know someone well enough, you can find your own DBL language, a shared language.
Yes. Absolutely.
Like, you understand that when you send that emoji, that's what this means. Or mm-hmm. when you send K with an exclamation mark, it means you're super excited, like whatever that is. So
yes.
I think there's a lot of opportunity.
Beautiful. Mo, if people want to learn more about you other than downloading Hinge, where else can they find you?
Well, follow me on Instagram at loveoutproud. Also, listen to Be Your Own Love Goals podcast. That's the podcast I host with my wife, and we just enjoy talking about relationships and love. Those are the best places to reach out to me.
Great.
Fantastic. Thank you for being on our show, and thank you to our listeners for listening intently and working on your DBL. If you enjoyed this episode, give us a 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts, and in the body of your review, you can tell us your DBL style. You know, what better way than to write it in public to a bunch of strangers how you communicate digitally? Why not?
I love that.
Okay, and we're going to wrap up this episode.
Stay dateable.
The Dateable Podcast is part of the Frolic Media Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram at Dateable Podcast and visit datablepodcast.com for access to all the episodes and our premium programs. Also, make sure to subscribe today if you haven't already on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform so you are the first to get all the latest episodes. And most importantly, stay dateable.